Marcus Smart is back, but the Celtics have their first stinker of the season. One day after Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum looked just awesome. I'm John Corrales. I'm going to talk about it here on the Monday Locked On Celtics podcast. Millie's, let's go. Rainy days back with the vengeance. Back. All the real Celtics fans in attendance. Ooh. This is the truth like 34. Yeah. It's like walking in the garden when you hear the roars. Crowd goes crazy, most in-depth coverage on the daily, mainly podcast royalty, the content kings. When you talking about the franchise with 17 rings, focus like Danny at the deadline, global but it got a local feel like the red line, the blue line, the green line, play it in between time. I'ma throw my C's jersey on in the meantime and press play. When the F's done, I can't wait until the next day, trying to stay in tune with the C's, it's the best way.
Melly. 2019 comes to an end this week. But the Boston Celtics' crazy part of their schedule is only just beginning. They did play a couple of games over the weekend that I have not talked about. Again, I'm John Corrales. I cover the Boston Celtics for MassLive.com. If you're new to the podcast, welcome aboard. Hope you enjoy it. Hope you can sample an episode or two and hopefully stick around. And you can subscribe wherever podcasts are available, however you got here or whatever app you're using. So I hope you enjoy the show. All of you regular listeners, what's up? How you doing? How's your Monday going? Whatever you're doing at the gym, work, whatever, shout out to you. Appreciate you coming back for another free daily podcast. So I'm going to talk a little later on about the win on Friday. I'm going to spend the first two segments talking about the Toronto game because a couple of things happened. Marcus Smart returned and the Boston Celtics lost. Worst loss of the season, a 16-point loss to the Toronto Raptors, 113-97. It really, they came out just terrible. And right away, you can just say, well, it was a back-to-back, and it was kind of set up for them. I don't want to just leave it at that because that just leaves them with excuses. And I don't want to just say, well, this is all it was. I mean, effort is effort, and they didn't have the right effort. But when you look at exactly how this all went, a back-to-back, playing Toronto shorthanded, a couple of days after destroying Toronto in their place, thought it was just kind of lined up for the Celtics to just kind of come out and play pretty bad basketball. And they did. It really, you look at the things that burned the Celtics, transition defense and second chance points. That is not about skill. That is not about having the best players on the floor. Getting back on defense, boxing out, and finishing off defensive possessions by grabbing a rebound. That stuff is all effort. Any team can go do that. The Chicago Bulls can go do that. The Atlanta Hawks can go do that. Whether they do or not, or whether they're in the right places or not, can be up for debate. But the Boston Celtics, for sure, should be able to get out there and rebound, which they had been doing. They had entered the game the best rebounding team in the NBA in December. So they knew how to get those rebounds. Now, some of it, a lot of that might have been Enes Kanter, who has been on a pretty decent stretch of rebounding, but also Jason Tatum, Jaylen Brown, those guys rebounding from the wings, those guys have been doing a fantastic job. But they didn't do that great a job in this game. Boston was out-rebounded by a lot. They gave up 15 offensive rebounds in that game. That's just way, way, way too many. They gave up, let me look up the second chance points here, 23. They're outscored 23-5 in second chance points in this game. Kemba Walker had a big night. He had 30 points, but nothing really going in the fourth quarter. He kind of had that early trying to keep the Celtics in it. And this game was kind of following this pattern of prior games where Kemba was going big early and then kind of turned it over to Jaylen Brown, Jason Tatum, one of the two or both. to kind of finish things off. There were earlier games in their four-game winning streak where that was kind of the case. Kemba would keep them going early, and one of those other guys would take advantage of opportunities and put this thing away. And neither of them could. So that was, I think, part of the lack of effort, part of the lack of energy, and that could all be back-to-back. And I will say, so the back-to-back thing, there's legitimacy to it. There is. The Celtics, though, had not been a team to take advantage of the opportunity for an excuse. And it was, I don't know if that's exactly what it was, but for the Celtics to have this, every team has a stinker like this, and they stunk. They had no effort. They didn't get back on defense, like I said. They were bound to have one of these games. And in so many ways, you can chalk this up. But it is still, in this particular instance, just disappointing for the Celtics to go through that type of thing, because we hadn't seen it at all. They had not taken these opportunities to say, you know, whatever. They cut the lead to 5 or 3 on multiple occasions. They just never could do the thing that gets them over the hump. Every time they did that, Toronto called a timeout and went on a run. It was like a 9-0 run somewhere. And the timing of the game, it might have just been coincidental. Jaylen Brown, Jason Tatum were getting so much love for everything that they were doing. And then they had this opportunity to lift Boston up and win a game that they had no business winning. And neither of them could pull that fourth quarter kind of heroics out of them. And in turn, no one did. You know, Gordon Hayward had a terrible offensive night, just couldn't hit anything. Kemba Walker, like I said, had 30-point night, but in the fourth quarter did not do much. And to have Tatum and Brown get so much love for what they did in prior games, to not have that burst to finish this off in the fourth quarter and kind of take over and give the Celtics a chance to win the game, it was kind of disappointing. Like, it's almost, in some ways, maybe a good thing that people like me wrote a story about why Jaylen and Jason were doing so well and how they played so well off of each other, which you can read, by the way, at masslive.com/Celtics. And they do play off of each other very, very well, which I'll talk about later in the game where they both scored. They combined for 64 points against the Cavs. That was great. And they certainly do complement each other. And every team's going to go out there and have a game where they stink. Maybe having this game and having people go, okay, maybe we should pump the brakes on the Jaylen and Jason stuff. A little bit of a reality check, a little bit of a recalibration. You can argue that maybe this team needs that, and they'll come out in this next game against Charlotte and have a better focus. And you could also chalk it up to Marcus Smart was back and they needed to reintegrate him. And there were certainly some instances where there were communication errors, kind of getting those guys back on the same page. Marcus had been out with the double eye infection, coming back and playing in a game where he hasn't had much time to kind of practice with the guys and get back into the swing of things with them. Certainly some level of that. Brad Stevens had Marcus on a minutes restriction. There were times maybe if they replay that game the exact same way, except Marcus Smart can play 35 minutes instead of 25 minutes, that getting him in there in certain instances where things were starting to slip away, maybe that addition of the grit, as Brad Stevens put it, changes the dynamic of the game. Maybe one of those runs where Boston got it down to three, they could get it back to a lead, a 2-3-5-point lead, and that changes the dynamic of everything that's happening on the floor. So many things could have maybe changed that. But in the end, Boston just didn't put forth enough effort to win that game. That's what it boils down to. They just didn't have the effort. Some of it because of the back-to-back, some of it maybe because they felt really good about facing Toronto, who they just beat in Toronto. And part of it might have been just that's how it goes some days. Some days you just don't have it. But like I said, Marcus Smart did return, and we got to see some of Marcus Smart in a lineup we've been waiting to see. So I'll talk about that when we come back here on the Locked On Celtics podcast.
You are Locked On Celtics, your daily Boston Celtics podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
If you've got a business and you're hoping to grow it in 2019, you can advertise on the Locked On Celtics podcast by emailing me at lockedonceltics@gmail.com, lockedonceltics@gmail.com. The audience is growing. It's going very, very well. It's the most popular Boston Celtics podcast according to the iTunes charts and one of the top 25 NBA podcasts. So feel free to email me at lockedonceltics@gmail.com. The audience that we have right now is predominantly male. It's like 95% male. So, and they're in the 25 to 54 range, educated, disposable income. If that's the demographic that you're looking for, then that's the audience that I typically have. Shout out to the 5% that aren't in that group. I'd love to have that be more. So if any of you women who are listening, share the podcast. I definitely want to have more women listening, but for now, the audience is men in that age group. They definitely have disposable income. They're an educated group that is very fully engaged in the Boston Celtics. So lockedonceltics@gmail.com. The Boston Celtics did get Marcus Smart back. They have now played 12 minutes this season. They basically doubled their time with Marcus, Jalen, Jason, Gordon, and Kemba. Now, they made a run in this game to close a lead at the end of the first half. They were in the fourth quarter where things kind of rolled along. There was no real run. They struggled defending. They struggled, rebounding. And so I asked Brad Stevens after the game what he thought. Here's the question and answer. So for full context from Brad Stevens.
Brad, you did get a chance to run Marcus with your five best players on the floor. What did you see from that lineup tonight?
So too small to know. I would say that would be something you won't see often, but that would be something you see at times depending on matchups and the such. If you feel like you can switch everything, if you feel like you're not going to get killed too bad on the glass because we look awfully small with that group out there. But we'll keep – now we've got to try some of that stuff. We got to see. So I thought that we've got 6 minutes or so of tape today to go back and look at and see what we can do better on it. But I don't think that'll be a high-volume group.
Now, I don't know what to make of that. It certainly is going to depend on matchups to some degree. You're not going to throw them out there, I think, against the team with a ton of size. That might not be your closing lineup against Philly. However, that could be a lineup you throw out there against Philly because it is so different. It is so chaotic. It takes a little bit of the advantage away from the other team. Like you can, the advantage that it gives the other team on one end, it gives you the advantage on the other end. And it just needs more time to see how that can work. They did not rebound well. but they were also not rebounding well all night. So Brad, obviously 12 minutes in a season is not enough time to determine what a lineup is going to be. By contrast, the most used lineup this season is Kemba Walker, Marcus Smart, Jaylen Brown, Jason Tatum, and Daniel Tice. And that's been used for 141 minutes. And then Hayward, Kemba, Brown, Tatum, Tice, which is your starting lineup, has been for 100 minutes. So 12 minutes of basketball is certainly, you can tell now the contrast, certainly not enough time. So one thing I think we can expect is more of that lineup in the regular season so Brad can collect more data. He just needs more information to see exactly how that works. He needs to see what the rebounding rate is really, because this one game, like I said, doubled the amount of time that they've been on the floor. And they did, in one stretch of that, increase the part of why they're a plus 10 is that they cut into a big lead of Toronto's at the end of the first half. So that lineup has shown the ability to do some things. Will they be out there in certain situations where there is size and athleticism? I don't know what that situation might be, but maybe not. Maybe they'll need a Tice or, I don't know, Cantor or one of the other guys, Rob Williams when he's healthy, or Grant Williams or whatever. But I still think that there is, because Marcus Smart is so unique, an opportunity to put a team, again, we're all looking at Philly. Philly is the team that is going to be the biggest obstacle. Like, Milwaukee is kind of implied, like they're the number one team, but Philly is the team that has beaten the Celtics twice this year. And for the Celtics to kind of find an advantage, everybody's talking about a trade. What can we trade to better match up against Joel Embiid? I've said this in the podcast before. I'm not opposed to that lineup being tried against Philly more often, because I want to see if that lineup entices Joel Embiid post-ups, which will score enough. They'll score plenty. Like, that's not going to, it's not going to be something that prevents Philly from scoring necessarily, but what it does is forces the one of the lower percentage types of possessions. Post-ups are not entirely efficient in today's NBA. In this whole part of the NBA's mentality of chasing the most efficient basket you can get, Philly can try other things. They need to do other things to get everyone going and be an efficient offense. And posting up Embiid and trying to back down Marcus Smart or Jaylen Brown, if Boston has the discipline to keep that out there and not double team, then they can potentially create a mismatch. And maybe you let somebody like Joel Embiid kind of punch himself out and work so hard on offense that he's not going to play well on defense. So we need to see more of this lineup to see if that's something that's possible. Can the Celtics use this lineup to bait other teams with some size into getting out of their regular offense and getting into a, wow, we really have to try to expose this mismatch. And really, Marcus Smart can defend bigs in the post. Like, we've seen that. And Jaylen Brown is not weak. He's strong. Gordon Hayward is not weak. He is strong. Maybe they could try to pick on Kemba Walker, but because the Celtics would be switching on a lot of or everything in that lineup. But we need to see more of whether that lineup can handle those other teams with size, and can they bait those other teams into playing a style of basketball that they're not used to playing. Meanwhile, Boston, offensively, with those guys, Kemba, Smart, Hayward, all ball handlers. Tatum, Brown, slashers, can shoot. Brown has gotten extraordinarily good at playing off of the action that everyone else is demanding, and playing a lot of catch and shoot and attacking closeouts. So that lineup can be very, very, very good offensively. Like, that lineup can be just devastating offensively. The question is, defensively, what can they do? So we saw some of it in this game. We didn't see enough. And so we'll see if Brad changes his mind, or if he was kind of throwing some sort of, I don't know, inspiration at that group through the media to say, oh, really? Like, we're your five best players and you don't think we're good enough to kind of play together all that often? We're a situational lineup. Like, I think some of those guys might take that personally as they hear that. And they should. You know, that's, your coach is telling you, I don't know, man. I don't think you guys can do it. So I'm sure some of it was a little bit of that. And I'm sure some of it was a legitimate question because they did get out rebounded. But like I said in the first segment, rebounding is so much about effort. You can go grab rebounds. You can box out. So a lot of interesting future with that lineup of Smart and Walker, along with Gordon, Jalen, and Jason. So we'll see. I bet they use that lineup a bunch. I think Charlotte would be a great team to try that against. Experiment with that much, much more against Charlotte, I hope. Going to end this podcast on a positive note, because the Boston Celtics did play another game that I haven't talked about, a game in which they won, and a game in which Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum went off. And I'm going to talk about that next on the Locked On Celtics podcast. Follow us on our social channels at LO Celtics on Twitter and at Locked On Celtics on Instagram. On Friday evening, early evening, 4 p.m. start, weird 4 p.m. start for a Friday, but whatever you want to call it, on Friday, the Boston Celtics beat the Cleveland Cavaliers 129-117 in what really was the culmination of a nice stretch of games for Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum, where they both scored 30-plus. Tatum had 30 on 11 of 20 shooting. Jaylen had 34 on 13 of 20 shooting. Their counting stats were very, very similar. Both were 5 of 10 from 3. Both of them hit 3 free throws. Both of them had 2 assists. The rebounding was a little... Jason had 5 rebounds. Jaylen had 9. But they were right there, kind of toe-to-toe in their counting stats. What really stood out in this game was just how different they play. I highlighted this on MassLive.com, where you could see that dynamic and this vision of the future for the Boston Celtics, where Jaylen and Jason are the two wings that can complement each other. And you would think, here we have two guys just about 6'7"-ish that they can go. And yes, defensively they can switch and everything, but offensively, are they too similar? Their games are different enough where they can really complement each other. And Jason, it starts with Jason Tatum, who has he takes and makes tougher shots, generally speaking. I think when he reaches his full potential, and we have to understand this is his third season. This is just his third season in the NBA, and it's just Jaylen's fourth. That these guys are not anywhere close to what they're going to be, the finished products. Think about the strides that they've made from their rookie seasons till now. And from last year till now, those guys have really, really worked hard to add to their games. And ultimately, at Tatum's best, I think that he will become a guy that's just a difficult shot taker and maker. Like, he is working on that sidestep three, the step back three, that's still not falling at enough regularity, but you can see him working on it and see him building that confidence in that shot. He is the type of guy that can attack a defense no matter what that defense is, no matter whether it's geared to stop him or not. He's going to be the guy that can attack it and do productive things. Now, one of those productive things is passing out of double teams, passing when they stop his progress at the rim. And I think that passing is super important because Jaylen Brown has become extraordinary at catch and shoot. And the statistics that I pulled out in the piece that I wrote for Mass Live, of the three-pointers that Jaylen Brown has made, all but five have been assisted. And he's made 54 this is all going into the game against Toronto. He's taken 57. I'm sorry. He had made 57 at that point, and 52 were off of assists. Tatum had made 74, and 47 came off of assists. So he had about a third of his three-pointers made that were created by himself, where Jaylen had, at that point, five. And that is, I think, kind of the biggest indicator of how different their games are. The other stat that I highlighted there is of Brown's made baskets, Tatum is the second most, he has the second most assists on Brown's made baskets. He's assisted Jaylen Brown 25 times going into the Toronto game. I know he had another one in that game. Now, Brown had only assisted on six of Tatum's made baskets. I think he had another one in the Toronto game, but the point is, it doesn't matter. The numbers weren't so crazy in the Toronto game where it threw out the validity of this statistic. That Tatum, off of blitzes, off of pick and rolls, has assisted Jaylen, which means Jaylen is doing a good job cutting. He's doing a good job spotting up. And I want to be clear that I'm not trying to say that, well, Jaylen's the overall better guy. I mean, I do think that Jaylen is going to, I mean, Jason Tatum is going to be the better player, but it's almost kind of like, it depends on how you look at it. He does certain things well that Jaylen Brown isn't going to be doing. And Jaylen Brown's going to be doing things well, better than Tatum, that Tatum is just not going to be doing. So Jaylen has to be much more of a cutter. He has to be more of a pick setter, rolling, popping. He has to be better about, like, he has to be a spot up guy, where Tatum isn't going to do a lot of catching and shooting necessarily. He's going to do a fair amount, but not as much as Jaylen. It's not going to be as big a percentage of his offense as it is for Jaylen. And it comes off as, well, Tatum's the guy and Jaylen's just kind of feeding off of him. It works both ways, because Jaylen, being as good as he is, feeding off of him, being as good as he is in that spot where he's spotting up or cutting or getting out in transition, that has a real tremendous value, because part of a defense's goal when defending the Celtics is to get the ball out of Tatum's hands. If he's on the floor with Jaylen Brown and Jaylen Brown is too good to leave with a double team, then that means you can't double team Tatum as much as you might want, which means Tatum now gets to shine a little bit more against one-on-one matchups that in a different situation he wouldn't normally get. So they make each other better, and that's how they help each other. In one sense, Tatum gets a lot of the credit for helping Brown out because he has the assists. There's no assist for gravity on the floor just yet. I don't know how I would make that an assist. I don't know how I would quantify that into a stat. If somebody out there can, great. I think that might be the next great statistic, calculating somebody's gravity. Because I'm telling you, Jaylen Brown would have a lot of gravity. You can't help off of him to double somebody else. Because if you send Jaylen's guy at Kemba or at Jaylen, or at Jason, then Jaylen Brown is going to cut or spot up or do something that's going to hurt your team. So you cannot use Jaylen Brown's defender to double team. And that's unquantifiable at this point. That's not something you're going to get in a box score. But it is very, very important. And an important element to this whole equation. So just because Jason Tatum and his skill set allows for assists to Jaylen Brown, it does not mean that the assists aren't coming back Tatum's way. Jaylen just happens to be assisting in a way that you don't see in a box score necessarily. And it's just as important, because if Jaylen wasn't that good, then the defenses can key on Tatum and Kemba and it wouldn't work quite as well. And Tatum wouldn't be as good because of it. So I think in that game, we really saw that highlighted. And I think it's important to kind of see how those two work together. This was essentially the plan B. Like plan A, we talked about this how many times over the past couple of years. Plan A was Kyrie, Horford, get everybody working together. If Jaylen and Jason could be good complementary players, if Terry Rozier could be a good complementary player, and the Kyrie, Horford, Hayward big three can kind of get their act together and play well, you had an immediate championship contender. But if they couldn't and things kind of changed, then your backup plan is Jaylen and Jason are your stars and you go from there. Well, this is kind of it, right? Isn't this kind of it? On top of it, now you get Hayward back to getting close to his former self. You obviously lost Horford, which sucks, but you got Kemba Walker, which is pretty damn good. So we're starting to see how this plan B is materializing. Now, Marcus Smart's return from injury is the beginning of getting back to full health. Slowly, Marcus Smart's going to get back to who he was, and we'll start to see how well this is all working, and finally, maybe some full health for the Boston Celtics. Next up for them, the Charlotte Hornets on New Year's Eve. It's a 3 p.m. game on New Year's Eve. A weird start time. So if you're working on New Year's Eve, you're going to have to find a way to watch at work. But plus side, all of you guys out there who are watching in Europe, in Asia, and across the world, you actually might get to watch this at a normal time. And I think that's important too. And maybe the Boston Celtics are on when people have a day off in the United States and everyone else around the world can watch them at what is a normal time for you. And you don't have to wake up at 3 a.m. to watch a game. So shouts to everybody. Maybe everybody gets to watch this game. Hopefully you do on Wednesday. I will have a podcast after that game and hopefully a podcast every day this week. I should. I don't see any reason why I wouldn't, but you never know. I try to be here for you Monday through Friday. Obviously, the holidays change that a little bit, but on a regular basis, normal week, this podcast is daily, Monday through Friday. It is free, So you can just get this directly to your app. So if you're a new listener and you've enjoyed this show, then go ahead and subscribe, and it will come to you daily whenever I record this podcast. Regular listeners, please, please, please hook me up. 2020, need to grow this audience, man. Need to grow this audience and keep it going. I need more listeners. I need this show to get even bigger. Okay. The Locked On Lakers podcast is bigger than the Locked On Celtics podcast. We cannot have that. Okay. It's time to rekindle this rivalry. All right. Celtics Lakers need this Boston Celtics podcast to be bigger than the Lakers podcast when the Celtics and Lakers play. Okay. So hook me up. 5-star ratings, good written review, share the podcast, tell everybody to listen to the Locked On Celtics podcast here on the Locked On Podcast Network.